Center.
Toyo Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
Harlan's Holiday saw 13 stakes winners and the earners of nearly $7.5 million last year, including, of course, the champion two-year-old colt. His stud fees climbed to $35,000. He's also the sire of the one of the hottest young sires in America, Into Mischief. Arguably, the fastest son of Harlan's Holiday is Majestic Perfection. Majestic Perfection sprinted 6 furlongs in 107-1. That was a new track record. He sprinted in 108-1, 108-3, 108-3. And he did it at 4 different tracks. Big Drama won the Breeders' Cup Sprint that year and was named champion sprinter. He met Majestic Perfection once in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Stakes at Saratoga. It was no contest. Majestic Perfection broke in front and stayed there to finish 3.5 lengths in front under a hand ride. Steve Asmussen called him the fastest horse he'd ever seen. Not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he'd ever seen. A superb individual, thus the name. Majestic Perfection's first foals are yearlings. First crop weaning sold for up to $145,000 last year, and he stands for 8,500 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brad C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Russell Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Russell Ellis.
Good morning, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand out at the on the Paris Pike, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous morning, a little bit chilly. Yeah, we're still inside. We haven't ventured out on the porch out here to clock yet, but sooner or later we'll get outside.
Too
yes.
cold, too cold.
Too cold to go out. But busy morning, about some 70-odd works, 75 works or something like that. And we're doing pretty good, having a pretty good month here from the Thoroughbred Center. We've a winner a day we've had. Today is the 19th. Well, actually, they haven't run today yet, so we're ahead because we've had 19 winners in 18 days. That's pretty good.
Today's, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
20th. Absolutely.
Today is today the 20th?
Yes.
Yeah. 19 winners in 19 days. Oh, well, then, okay, so the 19th we've had 19 days. Yeah, winner a day.
Okay.
My Russell Cave, my old Russell Cave math is failing me. I failed it then, too.
There you go. It's getting back at you.
Yeah, right. Well, what the heck. Anyway, since last week's show, we've had 7 winners. That's now, that is one a day.
Yes, it is.
Check me out, dude. Ressy, check me out on that, would you? All right. We've had 2 at Keenan and 5 at the Mountain. At Mountaineer, Karen Vecchio, Marco Castaneda won 2. Juan Rubalcaba, Jimmy Cargan, and then Wayne Mackey and Chuck Peary. Both had winners at the at Keeneland. Now, Chuck is over there now. He's stables here all winter and everything long, and we clocked that horse, timed that horse at about, I think, at last work, maybe last 2 works were at Keeneland. But prior to that, he had done all his training here, and he wintered here. Chuck winters here.
So that we get to claim it.
I claimed it.
Good.
Yeah, so there.
So there.
So what are we doing today? Well, Brandon Perry is going to come in. He's the owner, with his wife, Diana, of Paragon Farms over in Bourbon County at Elizabeth Station. Now, if you don't know where Elizabeth Station is, it's on Greenwich Pike. It's halfway between Paris and Centerville.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Right about in the middle.
Right.
And everybody knows where Centerville is. That's Tom Leach's hometown.
That's right.
So
that's a famous place.
Yeah, got a plaque up down there.
Yeah.
It says Tom Leach slept here.
Yeah.
Anyway, they are the breeders of Cyber Secret, who won the Grade 2 $500,000 Oaklawn Handicap. And I don't know, Mr. Perry, but Brandon's coming in. Maybe he'll bring his bride with him. But we're going to talk about Cyber Secret. He went into that race off a win in a Razorback, so he's 2-for-2 up there. He's a broken Val, of course, who stands down at Pin Oak Stud. So anyway, that's and he races for Charles Sella, who's the owner of Oaklawn Park.
They live just about 2.5 miles from us.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 miles that way, a little over 2 miles, 2.2 to 460, yeah, and they're not 3/10 of a mile on there. So it's about 2.5
yeah,
miles.
Yeah, it's right before you get to 460, yeah, on Greenwich.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Greenwich, and you cross Greenwich and get to where we live, you hit 460, turn right and take an immediate left. It's a dog leg, but it's the same route number, but to change the name.
Yes.
We live on Clay Kaiser. And if you go all the way over to the Cynthiana Road, that's 27, isn't it, Jackie?
Yes.
Yeah. And then if you cross 27, it's Peacock.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Anything to confuse the tourists.
Yeah, I'm confused talking about it. And okay, well, Dr. Doug Byers is coming in, and he's bringing a friend of his, Dr. Tom Diver from Columbia. And Michael Blowen, and he's here now wandering around out here somewhere. Where'd he go?
He's on the phone.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's probably raising money.
No doubt. We hope.
We're going to, here comes somebody pulling up.
That's Mike.
Oh, that's Mike Heath. Mike rides out here now pretty regularly. He used to ride races. He rode tackle eligible for us. Day broke his maiden. You remember that?
No. I see myself in the picture, but I don't remember those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I don't remember much of anything.
Dr. Doug Byer, Dr. Tom Diver coming in. Michael Blowen, who just finally got off the phone raising money. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheets going to give us the winner of the Coolmore Lexington Stakes. I got to talk that over. I do a little history if we have chance. And, of course, before we get started with you, Michael, because
yes, sir.
It's hard to shut you up, let me do a commercial.
I beg your pardon.
See, I let that space.
It's a bright, sunshiny day.
It's a lovely day, so let me do a...
Here comes Doug.
Yep.
Let me do a commercial here, and we'll get right to you. Then. Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade 3 $250,000 Count Fleet Handicap was won by Justin Phillip. 5-year-old horse by First Samurai. Just two races earlier, Get Happy Mister, a 3-year-old colt by First Samurai, $100,000 Northern Spur Stakes. Then, Carve, another 3-year-old son of First Samurai, ran third in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Justin Phillip, bred by Oak Brook Farm and sold for $400,000 as a yearling, has also won the Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont, and he's placed in 6 other graded stakes, 2 Grade 1, for earnings of over $782,000. Get Happy Mister has won 5 of his 6 starts and over $171,000. Carve, winner of 2 of his 4 starts, has won over $149,000. First Samurai is also the side of the 2013 Stakes winner's Last Gunfighter, winner of the Grade 3 Excelsior and the Evening Attire Stakes for earnings of nearly $300,000. Swift Warrior, winner of the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Stakes, the Grade 3 John B. Connolly Turf Cup, and of more than $430,000. First Samurai, Grade 1 Stakes winner of Giant's Causeway, stands for $10,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend over at Lexington, LexHorseFarms.com. And LexHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, 859-608-8039. There's real horse people, helping real horse people in the real estate business now. So he's Hill and Reagan have been in the business for over 12 years. So you get 2 for the price of 1. I mean, they're hands-on horsemen. Hill understands the horse business. He's a licensed trainer. A-level pony clubber. If that doesn't mean anything to you, most of the Olympic riders are A-level pony clubbers, by the way. Had the best behaved horses I've ever seen out here. He has great references, and they're people that you can trust. They've got a great website, lexhorsefarms.com. Go to it. They've got listings in Fayette, Bourbon, Jessamine, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations of state size. Why don't you all sit down, Doc? And anyway, get in touch with Hill. Here's his number. It's 608-8039 and lexhorsefarms.com. So if you're looking to list your real estate or something, just give him a call and look him up. One more commercial, and I'll get to you guys.
Yes, sir. We're ready.
I'll get to him.
Don't get to him. I told him I had to do this before I could talk to him because I can't shut him up.
Yeah.
The winner of the $100,000 call to Oaks last Saturday, Street Girl, is a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Street Hero. Bred in Kentucky by James C. Spence, Street Girl broke her maiden on February 27 at Gulfstream, and the call to Oaks was a first start in the stakes. Other runners from the first crop by Street Hero include Gabriel Charles, winner of the $100,000 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint Preview Stakes, second in the Eddie Logan Stakes, both those at Santa Anita. After he won his first start as a 2-year-old at Del Mar in a maiden special, maiden special winner Backstreet Hero, second in the $100,000 Clever Trevor Stakes, Dirty Swag overcame his name and placed in the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes at Hollywood Park. Who would name a horse Dirty Swag? After taking a maiden special at Del Mar, and keep an eye on Any Rider Will Do. He's 2-for-2 this year after taking maiden special at the fairgrounds. Street Hero, winner of the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes and placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity, is by the sensational sire Street Cry, and he stands for $5,000, doing a full stint at Nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, and Chance Tim. See the website at windstarfarm.com. What are you going to do? You're going to step aside.
Well, you're the main show, aren't you?
Well, wait a minute. He was going to go down and get another microphone.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. We'll all have a quartet here. We can sing.
This show can afford 4 microphones. It must have had a big budget increase this year.
We have singing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's $1 million quartet.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning, Ursel.
And we haven't met doctors. Tom?
Tom Divers.
Tom Divers. Nice to meet you.
Good to see you.
You're from Columbia.
Cornell University.
Oh, Cornell. Yes. I thought you said Columbia.
It begins with a C and it's in New York. That's close enough for you.
That's about as close as I get.
Say Ivy League, supposedly.
Wait a minute. I wrote that down here. Doc, when you told me, I wrote down Columbia sure as hell.
No.
All right.
I was thinking of clumsy and going to introduce Michael.
Cornell. Okay. we had a horse from our farm in New York over at Cornell for a few days. It's a chronic colic problem that you guys saw for us.
Yeah, probably. Which was the name of one?
I'm trying to remember
now.
Susie? I'll remember it.
Would you turn that heater off? I'm about to cook over here.
It was one of Mike Rapoli's horses that he retired us.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
Who is the horse?
I knew Rapoli.
I'm trying to remember the horse's name, but he was up in New York and he's having chronic colic problems, and he went over to Cornell and they fixed him up.
Oh, okay. All right.
I remember that horse. Yeah, I saw Mike was somehow involved with
it. Well, wait a minute now, Doc. We can't hear you. Go ahead.
I remember that horse. I remember Mike was somehow involved with it, so that's how I remember it.
It's hard not to remember it if Mike's involved.
That's right, yeah. He's pretty
active.
I got Dr. Divers involved in Uncle Mo, and so we worked on that together. And
I got to tell you about that. This was, they just reported, you know, the his problems, you know, and nobody knew what was going on and everything. And Doc was sitting here just like he is right now, and I said, I wonder, Doc, what's your idea? What in the hell's going along with Uncle Mo? And he got this look on his face. And I said, ooh, I better back off of that one. All right.
Well, eventually got to where we could talk about it.
Four mics. Isn't this something? If somebody else shows up, we're in trouble. All right.
Is this one on here?
Yeah, you're okay. On. Everybody's okay. Live now. Okay.
I'm just going to listen in, but Dr. Divers is a full professor at Cornell University. Mm-hmm. So he's one of the best clinicians I've ever known, and he does the research as well. So he'll have some cutting edge research to share with you, and I'm going to shut up, and you can just ask questions like, well, what are you looking at? What's going on? And
well, you ask the questions. Those are good questions. Well, you're asking them right now.
By golly, we're not on a level with you guys.
Ask them a couple of questions to get us started here.
Yeah, ask him a question. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, you know, we can go through Michael as well. I think there's a lot of stuff going on that we're trying to see developed. Some interest in leptospirosis vaccinations and Lyme disease. What else we got going?
Well, you mentioned liver disease, Uncle Mo, of course.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, technology and science has evolved so much the last few years that sometimes we're learning things we don't know what they mean. For example, just in the last year, there's been four previously undiscovered hepatitis viruses found in horses, and we really don't know what the significance of those are. It may be that one or more of those viruses may cause liver disease, but it may be an incidental thing where that horses and we all have certain viruses in our body that don't really cause a problem, and maybe that in some cases that's what it's going to turn out to be. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to sort that out, but the technology and science where you can just take blood samples and take out the nucleic acid and just put it on a computer and find out that there's a virus there that's never been found before. I mean, that technology has just been available the last two or three years. So we're going to learn a lot in the next few years, find a lot of new infectious agents. But the hard part is going to be trying to determine what the significance of those are.
Mm-hmm. But to ID them and
we never knew they existed.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've already found three in the last year have been found in a horse that one even knew existed.
I'd be afraid to look anymore.
Well, you know, that's a good point. Maybe we shouldn't be because, there's a lot of things out there. We don't know what causes it, too. So, therefore, we have to look for new agents.
Did this technique help with Uncle Mole?
Well, we don't know. You know, it's some of the pathology reports indicated that it could have been viral. The one from University of Kentucky, I think, indicated that, but we don't know for sure.
Now,
yeah,
so, you know.
Oh yeah,
he came back and trained.
I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, and we found out that you know a lot of times horses will clear the viruses too. We've been following horses now for almost a year since we've known that, and a lot of the horses will be infected, and just the virus is gone. They just cleared on their own.
How long have you been at Cornell?
I've been at Cornell, I think, 24 years. Doug and I were together at the University of Georgia. I was a senior student when he was an intern, and we've been friends ever since. And I remember when he moved to Kentucky to start the medicine part of Haggard's hospital. Uh-huh. I came up and worked with him one spring, and we were just in a little building over there on whatever road that is. And busy place, and you know, I take my hat off to Doug. He's done a lot to bring a lot of science and medicine to this Lexington area. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the first people that came in board certified to and really kind of help establish that advancement of equine medicine and surgery here. So, I mean, he's I'm not sure people here realize that, but he's done amazing things to get it kickstarted, and it's gone. Of course, developed tremendously since that time.
Yeah. Did you go to vet school at Cornell?
No, I went to University of Georgia. I was a senior student there when Doug was
an intern. Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from Virginia. From Virginia.
I'm trying to put a finger on your accent there.
Yeah, no, I'm from Virginia, and you never lose this accent. I'll tell you that.
His favorite patient was a mule named Mary.
Okay.
And she had bumped her side, and so he diagnosed it with fell off the bridge Mary. And she had. She'd stepped off the bridge.
Yep.
And she had a horn.
Now, where'd you run across a mule?
Oh, we saw quite a few mules at University of Georgia. There were still a lot of them floating around.
Is that right?
Yeah, and all of them were old. I was convinced that mules were born at 20 years of age.
Yeah.
Because every mule we saw was 30 or 35, and they were tough. And yeah, I remember that one because we had little ID cards on the stalls, and you had the diagnosis written down, and I'd written FOB, and everybody is walking by, and what does FOB mean? You know, what diagnosis is that? And I said, fell off bridge.
It used to be a fellow out here that trained out here, had a mule. He used it as a pony. I believe it belonged to Susie, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you what. He was named after a very famous horseman, nicknamed, and I better not say it on the air, because he's still around. He's still around, Jackie. I mean, and it was kind of a derogatory name, you know, for this particular mule. So anyway, we knew where they stood. Well, you teach over there too, then?
I try to. I teach. I work in the hospital and do some research. Some days I'm not sure how good a job I do at any of those, but I try.
Yeah. Well, that Doug comes here and teaches every Saturday morning.
Well, that's
confusion.
Well, he causes that, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you been over to over to old friends yet?
I haven't, but Michael
yes,
and I.
Yes, you have.
Did we
I
go
took
there?
You by Michael's place, but we just went in and out. We didn't really visit. As soon as we saw Michael was still around, we left.
Yeah, we left. I remember. No,
you know, I told Diane that's why people weren't coming on tours that often. But I said, when I'm not here, they all come and have fun.
You got to bring up something else. I don't know enough. I'm not educated enough in this to talk to
Tom. Well, actually, he mentioned the liver. And they've identified a herpes virus that has been involved. And then they've got this new lung disease called multinodular. And that's a herpes type 5, things we didn't know existed.
Yeah. What do you treat it with? What, you know, for instance, what did you treat Uncle Mo with?
Well, he was treated with anti-inflammatories, and you see, it's been 2 years now. I have to think about what we did treat him with, and
pentoxifilin,
which is another anti-inflammatory,
which is a great drug, safe, reasonably inexpensive, and so he got pentoxifilin when he really had to succumb to timing because they had him on a training schedule. Yeah. And once we got him away from the Derby trail, then he wound up getting biopsied and we worked him up, you know, later. But we couldn't do that
right
when he was on the Derby trail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see.
So.
Well, what a shame, because he was just cut out to be a great horse, I think.
They over at Ashford, the grooms love him, and they love his foals, the dispositions, and he's a class act, very much a class act.
Yeah. He's an Indian Chally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horse that started out over at Vinery, you know, when Ben Walden had it, Indian Chally. And you could see him coming. I mean, you knew he was going to make it because, you know, they had decent mares to him, but he was moving them up.
Yeah.
And you could see him popping up everywhere that they were winning.
And that was the sire for. And he was a class act. Yeah. Good disposition and nice to be around. And
yeah, big loss when he died.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had cancer. But anyway, you know, we still see problem areas cancer-wise in certain individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have.
Well, Jackie's fox hunter died of cancer. Mm-hmm. We had put him down.
Yeah.
And there's not much you can do for that, is there, Tom?
Well, you're right. There's not a whole lot you can do. We do have some treatments, particularly lymphosarcoma is probably the primary systemic cancer that we see in horses, and that occurs in young horses too. I mean, I could hit them early in their career, and we do have some chemotherapy for that, but it's The long-term prognosis is not good, so the horses will improve with treatment, but their long-term prognosis mm-hmm. is guarded to poor.
He had two operations.
Doctor. What's the best? Doctor Claire Latimer. Operated on his eye and got a couple another couple of years out of you know. But then all of a sudden it came back with a bang.
That's and, one of the problems we have.
And it just had to put him down, which was a shame. He was a nice horse, you know. And one of those old horses that took care of her. You know.
And he was funny.
She sparked me again.
I know. I'm sparking you. He was so funny. When the he never bit anybody in his life. Or kicked anybody, but when the blacksmith would come and Herschel would hold him, he would wait until the blacksmith picked up one of his hind legs. So there you are, stuck. And then he'd nip Herschel, a good one, right in the arm. And stand there like he didn't do it.
Never did like that horse. Hey, I got to take a break. We'll get back to you guys. All right.
Thanks.
Well, Misdirection turned in another amazing performance last Saturday, conceding weight to the field and coming off a one-mile win in the Grade 2 Buena Vista. She closed from two lengths back at the eighth pole to run down her stablemate. And I don't know if I can pronounce this or not. Shira Pirelli? Does that sound right to you, Michael?
Sounds very good. Thank
you. Schiaparelli? How do you spell it?
Like
S-C-H-I-P-A-R-E-L-L-I. Okay. Let me go back.
Jackie, as usual, is correct. And Misdirection's owned by Jim Rome, the sportscaster, and he does a lot of great stuff on TV and talks about Misdirection all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a little add to the ad.
And you, you folks over at Dunmont Farm that are paying for this commercial, we won't charge you extra Michael's input.
They get their money back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start all over again. Now, Misdirection turned in another amazing performance last Saturday, conceding weight to the field and coming off a one-mile win in the Grade 2 Buena Vista. She closed from two lengths back at the eighth pole to run down her stablemate, Shira Pirelli, to win by six to win the six-and-a-half furlong Grade 3 La Cienega Stakes by a rapidly widening half length. That was Misdirection's fourth straight graded stakes win. Starting with the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup sprint, turf sprint, in which she beat the boys, she has won the Grade 2 Monrovia, the Grade 2 Buena Vista, and now the Grade 3 Las Ciengas. Never out of the money in 15 starts. She has 10 wins, 4 seconds, and 1 third, and she's earned over $1,154,000. She is 7-for-7 on Santa Anita's grass, all 7 wins coming in stakes, and she's considered by many to be the fastest sprinter on grass in the nation of either sex. And here are two more runners by Miz and Mass to watch. Upbeat Mood, a 3-year-old filly placed in the runway stakes at Santa Anita, and what was just her second start of the year. And Mazzano, a 4-year-old colt, won a $62,000 allowance optional at Keeneland, going a mile on the 16th on Keeneland's artificial. Miz and Mass stands for $15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. Si of two graded stakes winners in his first crop, including a leading candidate for the Kentucky Oaks. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, Giacomo has sired 17 stakes horses in his first three crops, and a healthy 13% of his starters have won a place in stakes. 10 of the 13 have won stakes, and among them the Fleet, Disposable Pleasure, winner of the Grade 2 Demoiselle Stakes, second at 3 in the Classic Grade 1 Mother Goose in the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan, and third in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Of 2-year-old stakes winner and graded stakes place, Jake Moe. Of 2013 stakes winner and Grade 1 place, Jacques Com. And of 2013 stakes winner, Fancy Cruz and Tiziani. Giacomo is best remembered for his win in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby over the likes of Fleet Alex and Bellamy Road and Flower Alley, and for his victory in the Grade 2 San Diego Handicap. But he broke his maiden as a two-year-old at Santa Anita and ran second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity, and it's a fact that five of his 10 stakes winners have won stakes at two. Giacomo retired with earnings of over $2,537,000. He's by Holy Bull, sire also of champion Macho Uno, a top 10 sire in 2012, who, like Giacomo, stands at Dana Springs. And he's a half-brother to the Grade 1 stakes winner, Tiago, winner of over $2,358,000. Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo stands for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback, 987-1798, and see the website at AdinaStallions.com. Alrighty, I'm talking to Dr. Tom Divers. So Tom, you live in New York?
I do, yep, live in Ithaca, New York. Yep.
Well, my condolences.
Well, it's a little cold up there, but, you know, I think it was the same temperature there this morning it is here.
Well, that's not the temperature I'm worried about.
Oh, okay. It's that white stuff that falls in the wind and things.
Yeah. What are you doing? Just visiting down here now?
Yeah, I came down to visit Dr. Byers, Doug.
Okay.
And I've been meaning to get down to see him for a while, and so finally got a break and took a couple days vacation to come visit him.
Well, I'm glad you did. You've been to the races?
I haven't yet. No, I'm not sure we're going to go this afternoon or not. I know we talked about going over and things, but
I know if you drag Doug out there or not.
Should be a lovely day.
To the races.
I was trying to get something.
Sit down if you're going to talk, Doc.
But
what are you going to do now? You're going to go to the races?
I don't know that we are. I'm under the direction of Susan.
Oh, okay.
So whatever we wind up do, and she'll...
Hell, Tom, just take Susan.
Well, I could do that. But, you know, the other thing is, it's kind of like that old country western song. You know, Doug and I may not be very good at many things, but we're pretty good at drinking beer.
Okay.
So if all else fails, I know something we can do. We're pretty good at.
When you point a finger at me, well, yeah, you got that. Doug, he's been wearing his Louisville beer store shirt, sweatshirt here.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, right. Right. Right, well, it's if you've never been to the races at Keeneland, it's beautiful. Oh, you've been?
Oh, yeah, I've been a few times, It's a lovely place. The Keeneland and Saratoga, my two favorite tracks.
Yeah.
I love both of them. I think they're both so different, but both of them are beautiful. Got class.
Yeah, I like Keeneland and, of course, Churchill. And my favorite little track was River Downs, and they're not going to run there this year.
I've heard that.
I was telling Tom.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I was telling Tom.
Yeah.
And they're not running the Red Mile. So
they're not having no standard breads here. This,
from what I understand.
Well, what happened there? I didn't hear that, Doug.
They just decided to
spit out the bid.
Postpone. That's a great track. That's a great track.
Historical
standardbreds.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that either. When Doug told me that, I said, gee, I'm not going to be able to set any records this year. That's where they set all the records at.
I don't know much about trotters and pacers and so forth, you know. I
mean, we have a lot of them in New York.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. That says the clocker's dog.
Dog's telling us.
The clocker.
Ursula, let's move the show along a little. Dog's getting a little bored back there.
He's
little, all right.
Who are you treating anything special now? You're looking, what are you doing now, Tom? It's just... Are you treating any Uncle Mo's, more Uncle Mo's?
Oh, no, I probably wouldn't be able to say if I was currently, but you know, we always have difficult cases. Being a referral hospital, our cases tend to be some of the more difficult ones, and so we always have challenging cases. We just had one of those multinodular pulmonary fibrosis horses in the other day, which is associated with herpes 5 infection. That's a really bad disease, but you know, we see a variety of just about everything. Of course, we get a lot of horses in it just are having problems, you know, racing fast enough for whatever reason that might be.
I've had a few of those.
So we always get a group of those.
Yeah.
Do you have
pleasure horses?
We do. Yeah, we do. Certainly.
Pleasure horses.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
We had a herpes 5 in a young mare, and I got blindsided because I said, well, you know, this will take a while. It might take a year or two to get to her and create a problem. Well, this filly was on death's doorstep within about 2 months, 3 months. Mm-hmm. It just really, never seen one get that quick. And she had it. Necropsy, they found it. So.
Could you save her?
Oh, no.
No?
No. She, the herpes 5, we don't have a...
How often do you run across that?
Oh, when we were on the ball, probably see one or two a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Is it contagious?
Yeah.
Well, we don't really know. I mean,
the question was it contagious?
Yeah. Well, the herpes virus, you'd think, well, maybe it doesn't have a quick
and maybe it's 60% of all horses may be infected with it. So it's really common. It's like I was saying earlier, it's one of those viruses that a lot of horses have, and it doesn't cause a problem.
Uh-huh.
And there have been studies to show anywhere from 40 to 60% of horses may be infected with herpes 5.
But they just don't show it.
Don't show any clinical effects from it at all. So why these...
Can it affect your performance?
Well, there are horses that are awfully good horses that are infected with herpes 5. So no one's really done a study, to my knowledge, to show if it has any effect on performance. But the general belief is that probably it does not.
Mm-hmm.
Have an effect on performance.
Well, that bigger percentage of horses carrying it.
Right, exactly.
Good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it certainly is. And the other thing we've found recently has been fairly exciting. We see so many horses have fevers, and we do not know the reason for it many times. And there's a virus that's been around, we've known about for probably 20 years, coronavirus. Corona starts with C. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that more and more in horses now that have fevers and are off feed for 2 or 3 days. It really does something to their GI tract, and by doing something to it, I mean they often don't have diarrhea, but they will not look at food for about 3 days when they have fever. And so we're finding that more and more frequently the last 2 years. That's been a really common finding for a fever of unknown origins, supposedly in horses the last couple of years. We see more and more of it. Why, I don't know. I guess we maybe missed it.
Do they bring those horses into you all there at Cornell, or do you go to the track?
No, they come in.
Do you go to the tracks often?
I try to go down. We have a standard bred track close by, and in Saratoga, it's good little hike for us, but we try to go there.
They call you in, so
yeah,
they have these outbreaks.
If there's an outbreak or something like that, we might be involved, absolutely.
Yeah.
And but the coronavirus is really interesting because it just the last 2 years, it's just all of a sudden we're diagnosing it right and left. And it can be, now that can be pretty contagious too.
Okay. How long ago did you find that?
Well, the virus has been known in horses for probably 15 or 20 years, but this frequency has only been in the last 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure whether we just didn't diagnose it properly, missed the diagnosis, or with the technology and ability to
technology?
We can diagnose it more. But I just don't remember seeing these outbreaks of fever and off feed in a horses like you often have. And then about 10% of them or so will have diarrhea associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it got very confusing because in Florida recently, when they had the herpes outbreak there, or the herpes infection, I think only one or two horses actually had the neurologic disease. But there was a farm there that all of a sudden the horses started spiking fever, so they immediately thought it's going to be herpes. Turned out not to be. Turned out to be coronavirus.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, then you've got in the human now quite a bit of increase in the Nor virus. They're getting diarrhea. The people just get a day or two, and they're okay, but they get pretty sick. They vomit and...
Everybody just thinks that's a flu.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah. How do you determine it's a virus? Blood work?
No, we actually, in this case, the virus is in the GI tract. And so we take manure samples.
Oh, okay.
And we do genetic tests on it for the DNA of the virus. So it's one of those PCRs you hear about, polymerase. Test to detect the DNA. So it's a quick test, easy to do. And it's maybe that's why we're diagnosed more commonly, because that really PCR for that's only been available for a few years.
Yeah. Doc, you do all this too?
No. I don't get around those bad bugs.
Oh, I probably know better than that too. How big a class is you?
I think we're currently, and that's a controversial subject too. If you want to talk about just veterinary medicine profession in general, most all schools are increasing class size. Of course, a lot of it's directed because of money. The bigger the class size, the more income they have from tuition. The question is it really needed in our profession? Most veterans feel like that probably we don't need to increase class size. Cornell currently is around 100 students, a little over 100 students. There's talk about going to 118 in a couple of years, but we have to change some of our facilities so we can accommodate that class size. Mm-hmm. But most schools, I'd say the majority of schools around the country are increasing their class size. And a lot of veterans feel like that's probably not a good thing to do. It might lower the quality, could lower the quality of the veterinarians. There may not be as many good job opportunities out there for them, the old law of supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real controversial thing amongst the veterinary education groups right now.
Yeah. How big is the faculty?
Oh, boy. In our clinical faculty, we have small and large animal. I think we have about 60-some veterinarians. Mm-hmm.
You divide it up in small and large animals?
Yeah, we divide into four different departments. There's a Department of Clinical Science, which has both small and large animal together. And then we're divided into that and small and large. We work with each other like our dermatologists do, small and large. A couple of them are quite famous. They've written books on equine dermatology, but their main work is on small animals. The caseload's a lot higher. Yeah. And our cardiologists help us. They mostly do small, but they help with the cardiac cases and horses and things. But so I think there are 60 or 70 in our clinical science department, and they have other departments of molecular biology where they just do almost pure research.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have a epidemiology diagnostic department too, which is quite large, and they just do diagnostic work and things. Mm-hmm. So the college is divided into departments, and then with our departments, we'd have small and large animal, although we consider ourselves one department, and we like to collaborate with each other too.
Yeah. Doug, we have any Cornell grads practicing around here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, lots and lots.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'd say that you're impregnated with Cornell and Auburn, and that's kind of the
I knew about Auburn.
Well, the contract school, and then Cornell was the option to go to, and lots of that. And then about 25 years ago, they opened it up so you didn't have to go to a particular school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go wherever you wanted to go. And then, of course, the other thing that's happened the last 15 years is women. You know, you've got probably, what's Cornell's class size with male to female?
I think we have probably, 100 students, so we'd have 17 or 18 males in each class.
17 to 18 males out of 100?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, and that's an opportunity for somebody.
Doug and I are like, wow, where were we back in those days?
You're right. Exactly.
Wish we could go back, but and we're higher than some other schools. And, you know, we may be running maybe 20% sometimes male students, but we're higher than some of the other schools.
Do most of the women want small animal practice? Or?
Well, most of the students want small animal practice. But
they do.
For our equine, there are students who want to go into equine medicine. The majority of them are women.
Is that right?
Yes.
I swear.
I can't remember the last time we called Haggard's to make a visit and a male came.
Is that right?
It's been at least a year and a half.
I had to deal with Ed Fowler.
They're much nicer.
That's a Cornell guy right there.
I know. Gina Tranquillo comes all the time now. She's bad.
I've got to take a break here, and then I better get Doug on. Michael.
What's his name? Old What's-His-Name.
Well, whoever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dyer is the sire of 9 starters, 8 winners, 3 stakes horses, including multiple graded stakes winner of nearly $500,000. So let me say that again. He's the sire of 9 starters, 8 winners, 3 stakes horses, including a multiple graded stakes winner of nearly $500,000. That would be the graded stakes winner, Gypsy Robin. Winner of the grade 2, $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland. The grade 2, $150,000 Beaumont at Keeneland. The $100,000 Sorority at Monmouth Park. The $100,000 inaugural stakes at Presque Isle. Second in the grade 1, $500,000 test at Saratoga. And she's earned $498,000. This year, DeHare is represented by the 3-year-old filly Sia. Never out of the money and second in Aqueduct's $100,000 Busanda Stakes. The only non-winner by DeHare has made but one start. So DeHare is demonstrating his ability to sire runners. And he was a runner himself, a grade 1 stakes winner by the top sire, Awesome Again. He stands for $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiry to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Michael, I'm going to talk about your friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Leather and Tack.
How's the brewery coming down there?
Coming.
Well, no, it's not coming. He's even thinking about a different location now. Last time I talked to him, he keeps running into problems, and you know,
and not Ralph.
You're Ralph. Yeah, I told him his bathtub wasn't big enough. But I guess that's gin you're making that, isn't it? But this is.
Well, I'm glad he's still having time to make the halters for us for free.
Well,
as long as he makes time for that.
Well, he ships out over 17,000 halters a year.
And we pick ours up.
That's what, yeah, well, I would hope. But he probably makes about 17,000 a year for you.
Yeah, we auction them off and make a lot of money.
Well,
once they've been worn by some of our champions.
If you're a local now and you walk in.
And they last forever.
No. Yeah.
When you collect them.
See, what about never being able to get him shut up? You know,
I've been very good this morning. I've been thinking about that myself.
You've been over your head, that's why.
I feel like we're in the starting gate for 18 minutes.
But if you're a local buyer, if you walk in the front door at Cool and Tack, you automatically get a 10% discount on everything. Not like Michael over here, he gets 100% discount on
everything. You have to wear a blue UK stop. You have to prove you're local.
There you go.
That's L-O-C-A-L.
Right. Well, anyway, it's a great tack shop, and Ralph's a great guy. And they refer to the brewery he's opening up. He says he's opening up a brewery down there. I don't know what it's going to be. I ask him every time I go in there, and he's got a different story for me every time. But we're going to find out. But it's a wonderful tack shop. We've got a great gift shop, and, of course, all the leather work is first class. Everything there is first class. And let me tell you where it is. It's in Paris. And if you're coming in from the Lexington area in the Paris-Lexington Road, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and you can't miss it. And go to his website. It's Quillen, Quillin.com. Quillen Leather and Tack.com. Well, Midas Touch and Mythical Power and Centiva, three young sire prospects with outstanding credentials. All three stand at War Horse Place. Midas Touch was champion 3-year-old of his year in Ireland and a grade 1 performer in Ireland, Great Britain, and Australia. A competitor to the highest level, Midas Touch is by world champion sire Galileo. There are two sons of Galileo at Studden, Kentucky, Eclipse Award winner Cape Blanco and Midas Touch, and those two were heads apart in the classic Group 1 Irish Derby. From a female family which abounds with superior runners in the USA and abroad, Midas Touch stands for $10,000, doing a full stands in nurses. Mythical Power is a multiple graded stakes winner of over 821,000. He had brilliant speed, sprinted furlongs in 120 flat at Santa Anita. He also placed in the Grand Grade 1 stakes, finishing second to Quale Road in the Woodward, and he is a superb individual. You just have to seem to appreciate him. Stands for 7,500, doing the full stands and nurses. Santiver, never out of the money at 2, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club stakes and ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders Futurity. He's by Giants Causeway and Sons of Giants Causeway, which won graded stakes at 2, are doing extremely well at Stud, notably First Samurai, who sired two stakes winners just last weekend, plus one placed in the Arkansas Derby. Out of a half-sister to champion sprinter Santiva, stands for $7,500 payable when the foal stands in nurses. Breeding incentives are available. Call Jerry Assinger at 509-0053 or Dana Assinger at 509-3157 and see the website at warhorseplace.com.
I got the horse right here. The name
I said 36 and change.
36 and change?
Yeah.
What, the delivery?
Yeah. Very good.
Well, what's going on? How did
this is a great thing. I got to tell you this great thing. It's been eating me up inside. It's taken me so long to get on here.
That's the reason we kept
going. I know, because people are getting the education part. Now it's time for that.
I love to watch you squirm.
But this is the good. I know you do. This is the good part. Woodford Reserve does these fabulous julep cups every year, which are silver and gold-plated, and they make these special julep cups, and they sell them for $1,000, and they sell 89 or 90 of them. And each year they give the money to a different nonprofit, and this year they're giving it to Old Friends.
Oh, my God. Right. Hey, that stuff make you take up drinking.
Well, I was way ahead of them.
You have to drink more.
And so, and this is the other cool part. That to get the money, I have to go to the Derby and get it at in the winner's circle at the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, which is the race before the Derby.
I know that breaks your heart.
Huh?
I know that.
I've never been to the Derby. I might as well go and have fun like this, right?
What do you mean you're going to
with the best bourbon? I mean, come on.
You mean you're going to skip coming on the show to go down just to do a little piddling thing like that?
I'll call you from I'll call you from the upper floors of Churchill Downs, a place I've never been in before. Millionaires Row. Gee, I don't think I've been in $10 row there.
Yeah, right.
I might have made it to $2 window, but never Millionaires Row.
Centerfield. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And then, of course, you know, two weeks from tomorrow, the day after the Derby, we have our homecoming at Old Friends. So that's going to be our 10th anniversary party. We've been there for 10 years. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Aye, aye, aye.
Just at that location?
No. 10 years since we had.
Yeah,
we used to have one horse, and that's when Dr. Byers was really happy. Oh, nice horsey. Now we got 126, and he goes, "Oh my God,
what are you doing? Is that a horse still alive?"
No.
Okay.
Her name was Narrow Escape.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
She was a daughter of Exceller, and she was left at Fasig Tipton when she didn't get a bid, and they called me and they said, "Do you want this horse?"
Is Sunshine Forever still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still own the share of that horse, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This is good. Come over and see him once in a while. I'd like to see you.
Okay.
It's renewable, that share.
Is it? Me and my big mouth.
It's annually renewable. We have a new picture and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
But he's doing good. You know, it was funny. I was watching the 1989 Breeders' Cup Turf, that prized one. And we have prize at the farm, too. And that year, prize came out of stall 6 and Sunshine Forever came out of stall 5. And now they're in adjoining paddocks.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, you know, you've got to get a kick out of that.
Do they speak to each other?
Yes. In fact, it's really interesting. Curie's Clown, you and I, Prize and Sunshine Forever meet every day at 4:30 at their corners.
Ah.
And I don't know, talk about their golf scores, or I don't know what they talk about. I can't understand it, but it's unbelievable.
Hey, Jackie, I believe these are my guests over here. That would be, let me get the name.
They're nice.
But yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the track. I'm going to have some fun.
Tom, thanks for coming by.
It was a pleasure.
It was nice meeting you.
Can I have Sunday's racing form?
Yeah. No, not Sunday's.
All right.
I got to have that.
All right.
There's an article in there. You want the other one?
No, I got the other one.
Oh, okay. Golly, he's hustling me, isn't he?
Well, thank you very much, Ursula. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Come on out to the farm. Have some fun.
All righty. The Roy's Reward posted a 113 by speed rating is a three-year-old, a figure betted by no other three-year-old in the nation. He is one of 8 Grade 1 stakes winners by Medaglia d'Oro, fee $100,000. A list that includes Horse of the Year Rachel Alexander and a champion two-year-old in France. Winner of the historic Grade 1 Carter Handicap and of over $565,000, Roy's Reward won a place in more graded stakes in the USA than any son of Medaglia d'Oro. And he's out of the Grade 1 producer for All You Do by seeking the gold. First foals of yearlings, they sold for up to $95,000 at weanlings last year. And he has been extremely well received by breeders, covering 252 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud. Grade 1 winner Warrior's Reward is eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. You have everything to win and nothing to lose. Also eligible for the program are the stallions Dominus, Line of David, Notional, Patio Prado, Temple City, and Wilburn. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, and Mark Toothacker at Spendthrift Farm, 859-294-0030. And for more information, see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Hi.
Be right with you. I want to talk a little bit about Reborn. It's a whole concentrated bovine colostrum which provides support all through all stages of thoroughbreds, starting with foals, incidentally. And if, as you know, colostrum sometimes is hard to come by, and this is a good booster for that natural colostrum. It's safe. It's easy to use as a supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. And it strengthens their immune system, which is very, very important. And they use it for older horses, too. Incidentally, Wise Dan runs on it. And, of course, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Lubricin is another product that you should pay attention to. They were both developed by Dr. Steve Alday and endorsed by many owners and trainers and vets. And to put it simply, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluid. And trainers like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer use it. Michael Maker uses it also. They also have it for humans. So if you've got some aches and pains, give it a try. What have you got to lose? It's Reborn, and here's the Reborn number to call, 800-901-8499. So give them a call. Well, Cyber Secret, winner last Saturday, the Grade 2 Oakland Handicap, is a 4-year-old colt by Broken Vow, bred by Paragon Farms. And I'm going to talk to the owners of Paragon Farm here in just one moment. Yes, I'm going to talk to you, too. Bred by Paragon Farms and sold as a weaning in Keeneland for $100,000. Cyber Seagate is a typical Broken Vow. He gave notice early that he was a runner, winning his first start as a 2-year-old at Belmont. And the Oakland Handicap was his fourth straight win. He went into the Oak Lawn, which he won by 5 3/4 widely lengths off a victory in the Grade 3 Razorback. And he has now earned over $552,000. Broken Vow is the sire of 6 stakes winners already in 2013. No other stallion has sired more. Following a year, which saw him sire 19 stakes winners, third best in the nation. He sires runners, and that's why a Broken Vow filly sold for $375,000 just the other day at Keeneland Sale. Broken Vow stands for 25,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic, and queers of Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens. And see the website at pinoakstud.com. I'm talking to Brandon Perry and his lovely wife here, Diana. Is that right? Is that your name, Diana?
Yes, that's correct.
She did not. She said she's not going to talk to him. That's right. Hey, you're just talking to a good old boy here, you know, and it's not... you know, you're all the neighbors.
That's what you said when you called the other day.
We don't live two miles apart. We live on Clay Kaiser, you know, which you go down to the end of Greenwich and turn right and immediately left. Same route number, 1864. Is that the route number?
1878. 1876, I believe.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I think that's it.
Well, I've just we've just been living there for 25 years. But we live from, just a couple of miles up there. On the right. You pass, you know, where Johnny Ward's farm is, Sugar Grove, and then right across from it is, what's the name of the new place there, Jackie?
Greenwood Lodge.
Yes,
yeah, okay. And you go over the hill, and then there's a little place, and that's us.
Okay,
Black Plank Fences. You're welcome to come visit anytime. But this is Brandon Perry I'm talking to because Diana won't talk. Is she that way at home, Brandon?
No.
No? That's what I thought. And they own Paragon Farms. And you haven't been there too long, have you, Brandon?
We actually have been in Kentucky for, well, be 10 years this fall. We just recently bought that farm last spring. Mm-hmm. We were on Russell Cave Road. We had about 212 acres on Russell Cave Road. We had sold that, and we recently bought this piece of property, like I guess it was last March.
Okay. Where on Russell Cave Road?
About 9 miles from New Circle. It was the old Newgate Stud, which was prior to when we bought it in 2003.
Newgate Stud.
Mm-hmm.
How far past the Jotham Down?
Oh, about 4.5 miles. It's right before the Lauderdale store.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yep.
Okay. Yep. Are you on the left or the right?
On the left, going away from town.
Okay. Was that Cap Hershey's old place?
Yes, it was.
Ah, I know exactly where
it was. Yep, we've heard many stories about Cap.
Yeah, I knew Cap very well. Died much. He was just, and God, I guess he was about 50 when he died.
I never met him, but I heard that he did.
He had a stud over there that I sent a mare to.
Okay, great.
bad result, but
unfortunately, that's part of the game.
That's part of the game.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, so how far were you? How Newgate Stud? What'd you call it then? Was it still Paragon?
Yeah, we changed it from Newgate Stud to Paragon Farms in 2003. We moved up from Ocala, Florida. We were in Ocala at the time, and we kept sending all of our mares up here to get bred. And said, you know, we obviously just need to move there. I'm tired of paying boarding bills. So we moved up here in 2003 and been here ever since.
Is that where you're from originally, Florida?
My wife is from Florida, born and bred, and I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, Ohio bred, huh?
That's an Ohio bred.
Okay.
Buckeye, that's right.
Right. What are we going to do without River Downs this year?
I'm not sure.
Not sure either. You know, that's... Yeah, Diana doesn't seem too worried over there. No? Well, was your family in the horse business?
My father had horses when he was growing up, and you know, then he got into the business world, and when he retired, he kind of got back into it, and that's how I got involved in it, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, did you live on a farm or something?
Did not. I lived in the city growing up. My father lived on a farm. My grandparents lived on a farm. And I was exposed to that aspect of it, but really wasn't exposed to
the farm life. Farm or
no? My father growing up had everything: pigs, cows, chickens, horses.
Well, did he race? Did he race anything?
They had no. Didn't race. They had Morgans, kind of show horses.
Okay, so that what's got you interested in Morgans?
No, well, my father when he retired, he bought a farm in Ocala and had quarter horses, show horses, and. That's what I was exposed to first was the show world, Poulter.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of how I learned confirmation and what have you. And then kind of got tired of that aspect of it and really enjoyed the thoroughbred part of it. The vet at the time that I had down there was in the thoroughbred industry. We'd always talk about that. And kind of when I met my wife, her family had thoroughbreds growing up. So that's, you know, we made the transition, the switch, and have enjoyed
now,
it.
Now, I've got to ask you about that, Diane. Come on, your family growing up had thoroughbreds, you
yes,
say?
Sir.
Yeah. You speak
in
up.
Ocala?
Yeah.
No,
in Ocala?
No, just outside of Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's a little off the beaten path for horses down there.
Well, back then they had Gator Downs, which is a quarter horse racing track.
Oh, okay.
So there were farms around that.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You know, I've been down there many times to Ocala and everything, you know, we train some quarter horses here. We have quarter horses at training.
I was
unaware
of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clocked a couple this morning. Wayne Mogie has some.
Okay, from right over here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so then did you race thoroughbreds? Did your family race thoroughbreds?
We had running quarter horses and thoroughbreds.
Both.
Yes.
Okay. And that's how you got interested in it.
That's how I got into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when you met Brandon, was he into it at that time? Or?
No. No, we got into it together.
Ah, I bet you drug him into it.
He was already leaning that direction.
Was he?
He was easy to convince.
Yes.
Easy to convince.
That's right.
Oh, I got to take a break and I'll get right back to you guys. See, you do talk. Wait a minute. Let's see where in the heck I am here. Got to take care of my friends down at Coolmore. Keeneland's grade $350,000 Commonwealth Stakes winner, Handsome Mike, is a 4-year-old colt in the first crop by Scat Daddy. Winner last year of the grade $2 million Pennsylvania Derby and placed in graded stakes at Hollywood Park and Golden Gate. Handsome Mike has accumulated earnings of over $880,000. That same day, Frack Daddy, a 3-year-old colt from the second crop by Scat Daddy, ran second in the grade $1 $1 million Arkansas Derby. Scat Daddy has 12 stakes winners, 7 of them graded stakes winners, and 22 stakes horses in his first two crops. He was the leading freshman sire in 2011, the second leading second crop sire in 2012, and he's nationally ranked again this year. Winner of the Grade 1 Champaign and the Grade 2 Sanford at 2, winner of the Grade 1 Florida Derby and the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth at 3, and of over $1,334,000, Scat Daddy is by world champion Juvenile Johannesburg, sire of nearly 60 stakes winners, and of Love Style by Mr. Prospector, and he stands for $30,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more information, call the farm at 873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
was Harlan's Holiday, side 13 stakes winners, and the earners are nearly $7.5 million in 2012, including the champion two-year-old colt. His stud fee has climbed to $35,000. He's also the sire, one of the hottest young sires in America, Into Mischief. Arguably, the fastest son of Harlan's Holiday is Majestic Perfection. Majestic Perfection sprinted 7 furlongs in 107-1. That set a new track record. He also sprinted in 108-1, 108-3, and 108-3, and he did it at 4 different tracks. Big Drama won the Breeders' Cup Sprint that year, and he was named champion sprinter. He met Majestic Perfection once in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Stakes at Saratoga. It was no contest. Majestic Perfection broke in front and stayed there to finish nearly 3 lengths in front under a hand ride. Steve Asmussen called him the fastest horse he had ever seen. Not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he had ever seen. A superb individual, thus the name, Majestic Perfection's first foals of yearlings. First crop wheeling sold for up to $145,000 last year. And he stands for 8,500 live foal in Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Run it by me one more time.
Got your toe out.
You better beat on me.
That's Gabe. Matt Howard just came in. That's Matt's got the farm right down here on Johnston Road. Matt, this is Brandon and Diana Perry of Paragon Farms. And, oh, incidentally, Diana, they have quarter horses.
Okay. And thoroughbreds.
And thoroughbreds. And, in fact, what was the name of that champion mare that you all had last year?
Frederville.
You keep, you all keep up with the quarter horses anymore?
Honestly, I don't.
You weaned her off them?
Well, and myself.
And yourself. Well, reason I called you guys in, of course, was because of the horse that Cyber Secret that you all bred. And congratulations.
Thank you. It was exciting to watch.
I bet it was. Tell me a little bit about this horse. What was he like, and why did you go to Broken Bow?
Well, we had bought the mare as a two-year-old out of a dispersal at Keeneland, so we bought her in, I guess it was 2002. So we had her for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
She was a good producer for us as far as in the sales ring. She just she hadn't quite had a really good runner yet. So, you know, she was a Dixieland Band mare, typical, a little smaller, very attractive. So
but good run.
But yeah, she could run a little bit. She just missed getting black type by a little bit when because we did race her. So she didn't have any black type herself, but was awful close to getting some. We chose Broken Vow because he kind of had everything that she needed. He's a big horse, strong, nice sound horse. So that's why we picked him. And the resulting foal was a very nice foal from the beginning. We typically sell a lot of weanlings, and that's what we did with him. We bred, raised, and actually sold him through our own consignment.
Mm-hmm.
And
at Keeneland?
At Keeneland, November.
What'd you get for him?
$110,000.
That's good.
Yep. Ben Glass bought him at the time, which we were very happy with. He's a great judge of horse flesh, and knew he was going to go to a good home, and I believe that's who originally raced him, and then I believe it was a private transaction to get to Mr. Sella, who owns Oaklawn Park, and that's who currently owns him.
Yeah, right.
But he was a very nice foal, and you know, he did everything right. He was it the easy kind.
Takes some more like him, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many mares do you have on there?
Well, when we bought our new farm, we actually downsized a little bit. We had, you know, 10 or 12 mares, I would say, at the other farm. We boarded a lot of mares.
Mm-hmm.
And prepped a lot of horses for outside clients and so forth. And we just kind of wanted to scale back and kind of get back to doing things ourselves instead of having so many employees. And that's what we've done. So now we're down to, I think, 6 mares. And we, my wife and I, do everything on the farm. We have one employee, and mm-hmm. that's kind of how we like it. We enjoy that.
How many? How big a place is that?
It's only 50 acres. We had 212, downsized to 50, which has been it's been great. It's, you know, not as many tractors, not as many trucks, not as many employees, not as much payroll, not as much insurance. It's, you know, in these times, it was the right thing to do.
And Diana's a cheap pay.
Absolutely. We're both cheap pay.
Well, it's a lovely little place.
Thank you.
Who had that before you?
It was just a hobby farm. Before it wasn't a thoroughbred farm. It was just, I think, a hobby farm. Before that, I'm not sure if he even had a name, to be honest with you. We bought it. We loved the house, and the barn is very functional. We've done a lot of improvements to the farm.
Yeah, you have.
We've done quite a bit of improvements. There's still a few more to do, but it all comes in time.
You're replacing a barn that I think it blew down or something before.
Yeah, I wasn't even familiar with it. I saw all the pictures on the.
It was a pretty good barn.
Yeah, it was a tobacco barn.
A tornado hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
We have not replaced the barn. It was gone when we bought the farm. The barn that's there now is perfectly fine for what we need for our purposes. So we haven't had the need to replace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just.
Aren't you building that one up there?
Somebody.
That's not our property. It's a property next to us.
That's the property next.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, that's a property next to us.
Fool me. Who are those people?
I believe she's the hobby farm.
Is it? Is that right?
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
They started the barn and haven't completed it. I'm not sure what's going on over there.
Yeah. Well, what do you got to sell this year?
This year, so far, we've had four foals so far. I have a very nice Uncle Mo filly.
Yeah, we were talking about him earlier.
First foal to Mary, and actually just the other day had a congrats filly that we're extremely pleased with.
Oh, yeah, nice horse.
What else do we have? Actually, I bought a mare, a really good race mare, in foal more than a fleet. She had a very nice filly. And a colt by Arch Arch Arch, we bred part of the Spendthrift program, the breed and secure program or whatever they have over there. We like the horse. Absolutely. So we bought a share in him and have an Arch Arch colt currently.
They fill those studs up.
They do. It's a great program, especially if you bought into mischief early on. You're sitting pretty right now.
That's exactly right.
Hopefully the same happens with Arch Arch Arch.
And they're publicizing that pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah. As you would expect.
We had the two vets that treated Uncle Mo in here this morning.
Okay,
I
great.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear
I did. Show. No, we were at the barn, and so I came here. So,
okay.
Now that we're doing the work on the farm, we're at the barn.
Well, don't you have electricity in the barn? You plug a radio in?
Absolutely. We don't have a barn on the radio, but I did not hear this.
All right. Well, it was Dr. Doug Bauer and Dr. Mm-hmm. Tom Divers.
Okay.
He's just visiting. He came down from Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Doug... well, you all met him.
Yeah, just as they were leaving, we met
him. Yeah, Doug is one of the nicest guys you ever, he's had some health problems here lately, but he's just a wonderful person. And I don't think there's another vet that's more respected than him in the world.
First time I met him, but I've heard his name numerous occasions.
Yeah. So what are you selling this year?
We don't. Well, we it's kind of early to pick what weanlings we're going to sell. You can kind of see how they're maturing and so forth. We usually make those decisions in July right before you have to nominate to the sales. We'll probably sell one or two of those foals, keep the rest for yearlings. And we have a couple mares that we'll probably sell. And we're always trading horses, buying and selling. We don't have the dam of Cyber Secret anymore, unfortunately. She was one that we called and sold. That's just the way it goes.
What foal was he, about fourth or fifth foal out of the mare or something like that?
That sounds about right. I honestly couldn't tell you exactly, but it was fourth or fifth foal.
Yeah. Well, if your first three or four don't show anything.
She paid for herself multiple times over with, the foals that we did sell out of her. And, so she was certainly a moneymaker for us. And obviously she's going to be a moneymaker for the person that has her now.
Yeah. You ever race anything?
Occasionally we do. It gets awful expensive when you get to that point. But, when you race horses, you're always going to have some that you can't sell for one reason or another, or you like more than someone else or what have you. So we have raced before. We bought horses to race. We've kind of done a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you make a trainer out of Diane?
She would be a very good trainer.
Well, who are you breeding to this year?
Let's see. We're breeding a couple mares to Union Rags. As far as a new sire, I thought personally for me, he was outstanding physically. Loved his race record, to be able to stretch out to go to the Belmont. That's correct. Lane's in. So we're breeding two mares to him, and they're actually both already pronounced in full.
That's good.
So I'm really, really tickled to death with that. Just love the horse. Couple mares to Discreetly Mine. We own a share in Discreetly Mine and been supporting that stallion all along. Like him. And, now that his half-brother Discreet Cat's really kind of seemed to come on, that's kind of exciting. So hopefully he'll do the same. Obviously going to breed Arch 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 again since we have share in him.
Arkansas Derby winner.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And
I believe that, that
we have outside horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some outs. We have board some horses for some clients from Florida, from where we're from, and so we're
seasonal horses. Are you
seasonal horses? They ship them up. We breed them and then ship them back when they're full.
How many stalls you have there? Didn't you?
We have 10 stalls is all we have.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it works out now because your mares that were under lights are out now, and now makes room for all the mares and foals. So, transitions and works great.
Yeah, that's fun. You enjoy it, Diana?
I love it.
Okay, that's good. She said she loves it. She's away from the mic.
No, we both really do enjoy it, and that's what we do.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, I've listened. It's,
does anybody ride?
Yes, do you ride?
I used to ride.
Jackie's asking because she wanted to know if you wanted to hawk fox hunt.
I've never done that, but I've always wanted to.
Oh, not a problem. Fix you up.
Great.
I'm serious. Yeah, always looking for fox hunters.
Brandon, she's getting her in trouble right there.
It sounds like it. I think we actually know Mr. Russell that lives in Pennsylvania, and Russell Jones in. He goes fox hunting, I think, 3 or 4 times a week, and he tried to talk us into going one time as well. So I think she would enjoy it. I'm more of an on the ground type of person myself, but she loves to ride and enjoys to ride.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Y'all been out here at the training center?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had horses actually out here before as
who
young 2-year olds. Christoph Clement.
Over there with.
Who's the gentleman?
Jeff McKay.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Before they went to Christoph. Young horses.
Jeff and Sandra McKay. Yeah. They own a farm on Greenwich, by the way. Right on the corner of
Greenwich. Just bought it.
Just bought it.
Okay.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Not very far off Russell Pay.
Yeah.
Oh, the corner of Ferguson and Greenwich?
No, that's not Ferguson.
Way in.
Further in. As you know where you turn off on off the Russell Cave,
mm-hmm.
and you make the turn right. You go up the turn and the first right there, and near the first farm on the right.
Oh, it's yeah. It's a beautiful farm,
beautiful.
I believe.
Yeah.
Great house. Too.
Yeah. Jeff does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a lot of horse for Christopher Clement.
Yep.
And let's see, Firestones and people send him horses, and you know, he does real well.
That's right.
We've got some good trainers out here, and he's one of them. But he doesn't run that many. He gets them ready,
ships them to Christoph or whoever.
It sends them out.
That's right.
You know, but he does a good job. And his wife, Sandra, is one of the best riders out here. Absolutely. She went off a horse here this morning. A horse went down with her.
Ooh.
But she's okay.
Good.
Did you see that, Jackie?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, I saw it happen. The horse just went backwards with her. But she came off and...
Both are okay, so.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah.
It was just something dumb. It was just sort of...
She laid a few bad words on it.
Irish words.
That's right. Irish, yeah. You ever hear him cussing with an Irish accent?
No, I have heard that, unfortunately.
She didn't cuss. I'm just teasing her in case she's listening. Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys go.
Have children?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do?
Yep. She's graduating from Sayre this.
In
about a month.
Hear that.
She's 18.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Would you have her when you were 2?
3, actually.
8.
Hey, that brought her out of her silence.
Yeah, she's 18. That's right.
Well, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. A daughter, huh?
A girl.
A girl.
Yeah. Daughter. She's getting ready to head to college and move on.
Where's she going?
She's planning on going to Midway for nursing.
Oh, okay. Great school.
Yes.
Yeah, she did not. She doesn't have the horse bug whatsoever. I think it was too accessible for her. She could care less, really, about the horses. So she enjoys the medical field. So she's going to go to Midway and see what happens.
She'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. None of my family kids did either.
Yeah, I think it's either you like it or you don't. I'm not sure there's an in between.
Well, that's right. Wow. Golly gee,
exactly.
I would swear you look like you're about 16 yourself, Diana.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's all that hard work.
I bet you Brandon appreciates that.
That's right. No comment.
Well, thanks to the neighbors, and good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you all stop by anytime.
Will do.
And just come on in. And if you got something you want to talk about, come on in and sit down. We'll have a chat.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate you calling me and letting me on. Thank you.
And tell Diana to practice talking a little bit more.
Well, she doesn't have a problem with it at home. It's just a little stage fright here, perhaps.
All right. Stage fright. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in. It's nice to meet you guys. I appreciate
Thank you.
Yeah. All righty. Let's see. Where I better catch up here. Where am I, Matt? Oh, okay. Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade 3 $250,000 count fleet handicap was won by Justin Phillip, a five-year-old horse by First Samurai. Just two races earlier, Get Happy Mister, a three-year-old colt by First Samurai, won the $100,000 Northern Spur Stakes. Then, Carve, another three-year-old son of First Samurai, ran third in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Justin Phillip, bred by Oak Brook Farm and sold for $400,000 a yearling, has also won the Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont, and he is placed in six other graded stakes, two Grade 1 for earnings of over $782,000. Get Happy Mister has won five of his six starts and over $171,000, and Carve, winner of two of his four starts, has won over $149,000. First Samurai is also the sire of the 2013 stakes winner Last Gunfighter, winner of the Grade 3 Excelsior in the Evening Attire Stakes. He's earned nearly $300,000. Swift Warrior, winner of the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Stakes, Grade 3 John B. Connolly Turf Cup, and of more than $430,000. First Samurai, Grade 1 Stakes winner by Giants Causeway, stands for $10,000 doing a full stance of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call. 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clayward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clayward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Get Stormy, won Grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream, Grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, Grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs. All told, he won nine stakes, seven of them graded stakes. He won stakes at five different tracks, placed in six more stakes, and earned $1,606,812. He led from flag fall to finish in all three of his Grade 1 wins, as was his wont to do. Get Stormy is one of some 75 stakes winners by the top sire Stormy Atlantic by Stormcat. In 2012, Stormy Atlantic sired 13 stakes winners and the earners of more than $7,720,000. He ranked 11th on the general sire list among those that stud in North America. Among sons of Stormcat, only Giants Causeway ranked above him. Get Stormy is a grand-looking horse. Go see him and judge for yourself. And he's standing his first season at stud for $5,000. Payable when the full stands in nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Call the farm, 859-252-3770. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and do the Crestwood stands and check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, I've got Steve Moody with me this morning, and a beautiful day, Steve, here at the Thoroughbred Center. And I assume out of Keeneland, they'll probably have a massive crowd out there today.
I would think so, Ursula. It'll probably be maybe not to the level of last week, but I'm sure it'd be a pretty big crowd nonetheless.
Yeah, well, who's going to win the big one today?
Well, of course, today's race at Keeneland is the Lexington Stakes, and this is kind of getting down to the last race or two as far as preps for the Kentucky Derby, which is just 2 weeks away. We've got a field of 11 three-year-olds drawn for this race in a mile and a 16th. And, of course, the filly on the outside in here, the 11-horse Pure Fun, will be trying her luck against the boys. She's not expected to go into the Derby, but she does fit well in here, Ursula. I mean, I think her figures are as good or better than anybody in here, but she does have the far outside post today, which is not exactly the best place to be, and obviously taking on boys for the first time At 7-2, she's the lukewarm favorite. I'm going to try to beat her with the six horse, Sunbeam. This one from, Mike Maker's barn, who's having a terrific meet over there. Of course, a lot of the, Ken Ramsey horses are in, Mike Maker's barn. And, Sunbeam had a, three race win streak going into the Louisiana Derby, last time out. And of course had that win streak snapped in that race, but, he didn't have the best of trips, that day. And I think he's got a right to improve. If he handles the synthetic surface at Keeneland, I think he has a big chance here. Gary Stevens, picks up the mount for Mike Maker. Another horse to look at, I thought too, that I think has a chance at a big price is a five horse. Where's Dominic? This one has, continued to make improvement and, you know, moving up the ladder. He takes a jump up in class today, but I like the way he's been progressing. He does add blinkers today, figures to be, closer to the pace than he has been. And, he's a robust 20-1 on the morning line. So, he's one I think that, you could definitely, use in your gimmick wagers and, you know, take a long look at him. I think he's worth a look in here. The horse to catch is probably going to be the River Rocks from the end, from the three hole. James Graham, Wayne Catalano trains him. He's got, he's going to go to the front, try to take him, as far as he can. And of course, the filly on the outside, I think she's going to be stalking. And if she can, save some ground in here, she definitely, I think, has the talent. Just a matter of what kind of trip that she gets, in there from, post 11. But, we're going to go with the six horse Sunbeam. Go 6-5-11 in the Lexington Stakes.
6-5-11. All righty. Are you talking to, thinking about your Derby horses yet?
Well, yeah, I was actually looking at some of those this morning. You know, I think Shug's horse has got a big chance in there. You know, you have to like his, orb,
yeah,
the pedigree on him. You know, he's got, on both sides of his pedigree, you've got, a lot of class there. And I don't know, it's still, I'm maybe down to 4 or 5, Ursel, but I'm not, still haven't made a decision yet.
I haven't had a chance to really look at it, but, it's wide open right now, I would think. Okay, Steve, we thank you. And, did they show that blue white game on TV?
Yeah, it was on Sunday. They showed it on Sunday. They didn't show it live. It was on Sunday night.
Yeah, I looked around for it and couldn't find it. I knew it was supposed to be on Sunday, but what time did it come on? I missed it.
I think it was 7:00.
Ah, well, 7:00. Okay. Well, I don't know why. Did you watch it?
Most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think?
Well, I thought they looked pretty good at times. I think, you know, they're a little bit shorthanded. Obviously they got a lot of freshmen coming in that they're, I think, feeling like that quite a few of them are gonna see a pretty, productive role. And, so, you know, we'll have to see how those, the newcomers sort of come in and fill in some of the gaps. I'm sure, I know, especially at receiver. I thought that the Clemens kid who was hurt came back, and I thought he really looked good. And the quarterbacks, I thought they played pretty well overall. So yeah, I'm, you know.
Yeah, well, that's scheduled.
Optimistic. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, that's a killer schedule next week, next year.
Oh, it's just brutal. They could be. That's the tough thing is they can
yeah.
be a much better football team, but not have that much of a difference in wins and losses because their schedule is just brutal.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. Well, thank you. And this has been Steve Moody, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. You can buy it off the internet at brisnet.com, or I think they sell them at Keeneland too, don't they, Steve?
They do indeed.
They do indeed. Okay. And wherever they sell a racing form around here. So, all right, Steve, thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Well, let's see. What I'll do, I'm going to take care of my good friends over at David Schweitzer over to KTA and Toba and give you the names of breeders of stakes winners over the weekend. And the Arkansas Derby Grade 1 winner was analyzed, bred by the Diamond A Racing. Well, that's where they breed a Diamond A Racing down in Woodford County. The Bluegrass Stakes out at Keeneland, Charles Sifke bred Java's War, who won that. The Makers 46, I wonder what that 46 is about. Makers 46 Mile Stakes. I don't know what the 46 is.
It's a new Makers.
It's a new Makers? Makers? Okay. How would you know that, Ressie?
I don't know.
He's guessing.
You don't booze, do you?
He heard it. he heard it on the street.
Yeah, he picked it up in church, Sunday school.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Wise Dan won it, and Wise Dan was bred by Morton Fink, of course. The Madison Stakes Grade 1 out of Keeneland went to Last Full Measure. That's an Empire Maker, bred by St. George Farm, which is the old George Widener place over on Kenny Lane. And I'd like to meet that guy sometime. Historic place.
Call him out.
East 830 used to stand over there, Battlefield. Let's see, the Oaklawn Handicap Platter was there. Oaklawn Handicap Grade 2 went to Cyber Secret. It was a Broken Vow down at Pin Oak Stud and was bred by Paragon Farms. And that's Diana and Brandon Perry. And they were just in here a little while ago. And let's see, what else do we have here? The Beaumont Stakes at Keeneland, Chow Bella Luna, bred by Dennis and Carol Yoakum, rose to gold, winner of the Fantasy Stakes, grade 3 down at Oaklawn. It was bred by the Mulhollands. That's Joe Sr., Joe Jr., John, and Karen, all from over in Scott County. Justin Phillip won the Count Fleet Sprint Handicap down at Oakland, grade 3. He is by First Samurai, bred by Oak Brook Farm. The Commonwealth Stakes out at Keeneland, Handsome Mike won that. He's by Coolmore's Ashwood Stud Scat Daddy, bred by John Leviacus, I guess you pronounce it. Sorry about that, John. I handled John okay. The Misdirection. Boy, that filly gives me heart trouble every time she runs because I'm rooting for her.
Yeah.
And she's always looks like she's beat at the 16th pole, and she always pulls it out.
Always. It's amazing.
And it's you know, she is quite a filly. She won the grade 3 La Cienega Stakes. She's coming off a mile race and dropped back to 6.5 furlongs and still got up. She's a mizzen mast, one of my favorite horses. Stands, of course, over at Judmont Farm and was bred by Joseph Parada. Let's see what else we have. The Instant Racing Stakes at Oaklawn went to Blue Eyes in the Rain, and they spell it R-E-I-N instead of R-A-I-N. Huh. Blue Eyes in the Rain, bred by Elizabeth Alexander. The Runway Stakes at Santa Anita went to Jubilant Girl. That's a Henry the Navigator who I think he just stood one season here before he went back to Europe, down at Ashford Stud anyway, bred by the Redmond Farm. The Sunland Park Handicap, $75,000 pot. Went to Forest Mouse, bred by E.H. Bolane, a third of Bourbon County. The Heritage Stakes at Leopardstown, Declaration of War won that. He's a Warfront, because Warfront is the outstanding son of Danzig, standing over Claiborne Farm. Joseph Allen bred him. I believe that wraps it up for them. Jackie, I think I'll do a commercial here, and then I'll turn it over to you for a while, let you do your announcements.
Okay.
The weekly announcements. So we were just talking about misdirection a second ago, so I'm going to do a commercial on her. Misdirection turned in another amazing performance last Saturday, conceding weight to the field, coming off a one-mile win in the Grade 2 Buena Vista. She closed from two lengths back at the eighth pole to run down her stablemate, Shia Pirelli, to win the six-and-a-half furlong Grade 3 La Cienega Stakes by a rapidly widening half length. That was Misdirection's fourth straight graded stakes win, starting with the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, in which she beat the boys. She has won the Grade 2 Monrovia, the Grade 2 Buena Vista, and now the Grade 3 La Cienega. Never out of the money in 15 starts. She has 10 wins, 4 seconds, and a third. She's earned over $1,154,000. She's 7-for-7 on Santa Anita's grass. All 7 wins coming in stakes, and she's considered by many to be the fastest sprinter on grass in the nation of either sex. And here are two more runners by Miz and Mass to keep an eye on. Upbeat Mood, a 3-year-old filly placed in the runway stakes at Santa Anita in what was just her second start of the year. And Mazzano, a 4-year-old colt, won a $62,000 allowance optional at Keeneland, going a mile and a 16th on artificial. Miz and Mass stands for 15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. So I have two graded stakes winners in his first crop, including a leading candidate for the Kentucky Oaks. First Defense, 7,500 live foal, is a genetic masterpiece. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, clients of McCauley Brothers raised the winners of 6 major stakes last weekend. The Grade 1 Arkansas Derby winner, Over Analyze, was bred by Diamond A Racing. The winner of the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes, Java's War, was raised at Darby Dan for Charles Hipke. Wise Dan, winner of the Grade 1 Maker's Mark 46 Mile Stakes, was bred by Morton Fink and raised over at Patch and Wilkes Farm. Cyber Secret, winner of the Grade 2 Oakland Handicap, was bred by Paragon Farm. The Grade 3 Commonwealth Stakes winner, Handsome Mike, was bred by John Levieski and raised at Hillendale Farm. And the $100,000 Call to Oaks winner, Street Girl, was raised at Heartland Farm by breeder James C. Spence. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire to learn more about the products available at McCauley Brothers and the services offered with every bag of feed. The number is 873-3333, and you're also welcome to visit the offices anytime, 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I want to remind everybody now that tomorrow, Sunday's edition, is the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition, and it's got some interesting articles in there. One that I'm particularly interested in that I haven't had a chance to read yet, and it concerns, let me see if I can find my list here, get the exact name of this thing, the top 10 Kentucky Oaks winners as producers. I'm really interested in reading that because I wanted to find out who determines who are the top 10 and how they came up with it. And, you know, so it's.
And how it compares with yours.
Yeah.
That's what's behind all this.
Yeah. Smarty. Anyway, I'm going to read it as soon as I have a chance. I picked up my form this morning, of course. Of course, Glennie Kane Oakford is writing in there. She's reviewing the Ocala Breeder Sales 2-year-olds and training sales. It gives a preview of that. And there's Nicole Russo is catching up with Grindstone. Of course, Grindstone, very few people know where he is now. He was the 1996 Kentucky Derby winner, and he sired the 2004 Kentucky Derby winner, Birdstone. Birdstone, of course, is over at Gainesway. Grindstone is now in Oregon.
Really?
There's an article there about him. So
doing what?
I guess it's stood there.
Oh.
You know. Anyway.
Didn't know that was a big call for...
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I have somebody that married a relative said they got more horses in Oregon, something like that, than we do. I can't remember what the exact.
Then there's something in there with about New York Bred Champions of 2012. John Sparkman is writing about Warpass, who, of course, looks like he's going to be a hell of a stud now that he's dead. And, of course, Glennie Kane Oakford is just a great writer. And all this is put up Mark and Mary Simon, and it's the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition. It comes out tomorrow. So you can also look it up on your website. It's drf.com breeding.
Ursa wanted, when Ursa worked at the Racing Form, he wanted to do that how many years ago?
This was back in the 1970s. I wanted a breeding edition, and they... poo-pooed me.
Took them a while.
It took a while. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay. Today, of course, at Keeneland is the big Coolmore, what is it?
Lexington Stakes.
Lexington Stakes, yes.
Sponsored by our friends at Coolmore.
At Coolmore. This is the last Saturday of racing out there, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day out and where the clouds came from, but there you are. The thoroughbred owners, Kentucky thoroughbred owners and breeders, are having the annual Kentucky Derby Trainers Dinner in Louisville at the Hyatt. It is $150. It's, I think, it's drinks at 6:30 and eat about 15 minutes after that. You got to drink quick. They only give you 15 minutes to drink. You better start at home so you get caught up before you have to start eating. Anyway, it's $150, and it's Tuesday, April 30th. That's a week from this Tuesday. That's in Louisville at the Hyatt. If you're interested, they have a big crowd. Get a hold of Vicky Garcia at 259-1643. Out at the horse park, the big, huge, I mean, the seriously big thing is coming up next week on the 25th through the 28th is Rolex, the 4-day, 3-day. They call it a 3-day because it's three divisions, and usually they don't have as many entries as they do at this one. And it's dressage, and then it's cross country, and then it's stadium jumping. Well, they first 2 days, 25th, 26th, is dressage, and then the Saturday, 27th, is cross country. That's the one everybody goes to. They have a huge, what do you call it when everybody brings their set up for sales and stuff? What do you call that? Tons of vendors, lots of vendors, and fun to look at stuff. Really, really nice. You know that tack shops from England and clothiers from England and France and places, they...
Not as good as Quill and Tack, of course.
No, of course not. Quill and doesn't sell clothing, though. But the
maybe
vendors,
a branch out.
It's a treat. Weisha McKinney's out there. Friend of mine bought a painted bowl. You know, like in the kitchen, you wash your hands in the little sink. She sells those...
Is that what that's for?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Anyway, Rolex starts. Ugh! Get your tickets because Rolex starts the 25th.
Let me interrupt you real quick. De Hare is the sire of 9 starters, 8 winners, 3 stakes horses, including a multiple graded stakes winner of over $500,000. Let me say that again. De Hare is the sire of 9 starters, 8 winners, 3 stakes horses, including a multiple graded stakes winner of nearly $500,000. His greatest stakes winner is Gypsy Robin, winner of the Grade 2 $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland, the Grade 2 $150,000 Beaumont Stakes at Keeneland, the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth Park, the $100,000 Inaugural Stakes at Presque Isle, and second in the Grade 1 $500,000 Test at Saratoga. She's earned $498,000. This year, De Hare is represented by the 3-year-old filly Asiya, never out of the money, second in Aqueduct's $100,000 Blissanda Stakes. The only non-starter, Bobby De Hare, just made 1 start. So De Hare is demonstrating his ability to sire runners, and he was a runner himself, a Grade 1 stakes winner by the top sire, Awesome Again. De Hare stands for $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about a little bit about Dr. Bill Bernard, who is his mentor, he said, was my good friend Doug Beyer. And if so, that makes Dr. Bernard one of the better vets in the country. Bill is a good vet. He was a long time over at Rood and Riddle. He's an internist, of course, infectious diseases, respiratory problems, neurology, 20 years at Rood and Riddle. And he decided to go out on his own. Good for him. And he's got a partner over there, Dr. Wesley Sutter, who focuses on orthopedic surgery, sports medicine. He was an orthopedic surgeon up at Ohio State and practiced down in Ocala for several years before coming up here to join Bill. And it's a wonderful organization out there. Of course, they got a full-time anesthesiologist, takes care of the pain management and everything, you know. They specialize in outpatient care. Tell them when you're coming, they meet you, they take care of your horse, and if possible, they send you home right then. And just do the thing you say. And here's the best thing about it, is they tell you what it's going to cost. And right up front, and there won't be any added charges. What they say is going to cost is what they're going to charge you. And second good thing about that is their prices are very fair and very reasonable. And the third thing about it is that you got a couple of the best vets in the country working on your horse. So you absolutely can't go wrong there. And, also they've got some new things in there. They've got a standing MRI, which is the first in this area. Yeah. For horses, they just walk them in and they can do the MRI all the way up to the knee, so that's great.
Yeah, I like the drop-in aspect.
You like the drop-in aspect?
Yeah. Yeah, if you've got something you want done and you don't have to make an appointment, you give them a buzz and roll over there, I like that.
Well, they're good people, and they're doing good work over there, and things are rolling right along for them, and everything's priced right, and up front what it's going to cost. So it's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's over if you go to where the Ironwork Pikes intersect with Georgetown. If you get off the interstate and go down and hit Georgetown Road, turn left, and there it is. Well, you can see it from the interstate as far as that goes. You can't go wrong. So go in there and see them. And they certainly can take good care of you right there. Well, Sidney's Candy gave notice early that he was special, setting a new track record at Del Mar to break his maiden as 2. And he was special. He won 5 graded stakes at 3. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, beating Lookin' It Lucky. He set a new course record at Del Mar to win the Grade 2 La Jolla Handicap. He won the Grade 2 San Felipe. He sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 and change to take the Grade 2 San Vicente. And he ran a mile, won 33 and 3 on the dirt to win the Grade 3 Sir Beaufort Stakes, thus proving his ability to compete at the highest level on dirt, grass, and artificial. He accomplished all that as a 3-year-old and came back at 4 to win a place in 4 more graded stakes, retiring with earnings of over $1 million. Sidney's Candy is one of 7 Grade 1 winners by the Fleet Candy Ride, and his jam, Fair Exchange, is by Stormcat, out of the triple grade one stakes winner Exchange. She earned more than $1,287,000. First foals by Sidney's Candy arriving this year to rave reviews, and he stands for $15,000 doing a full stands of nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. And the website at windstarfarm.com.
Is the music over?
Yeah, the music's over, baby.
All right, the music's over. Hollywood Park's going to close this year. What a shame.
They think it's going to close this year.
Yeah, we're going to have another development. That's what we need. Another development. I'm always for another development myself. Whew. Okay, TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, is having a breeding clinic May 31st through June the 2nd, 8 o'clock, Friday through Sunday here in Lexington. Clinic topics include mating selection, pedigree theory, reproduction and foaling, confirmation evaluations, farm management, and much more. They visit three thoroughbred farms. The next one they're going to have is a Canterbury Park, which is in Minnesota. And then in Saratoga, they always have a seminar. So to register, please visit www.toba.org. And that's about it for me.
That about it for you?
That's about it for you. Me, you got anything to talk about?
Oh, well, I got a couple more spots to do.
What about history? I'm going to Rolex, by the way.
You are?
Yes, ma'am. The little girl that adopted my filly, now a mare, is coming in with her mom and friends from Michigan. So I'm going to be sure to get over there and say hello. And they'll probably throw rocks at me since they got that mare.
All right. Well, let's see. I've got another commercial to do. Another couple.
Oh, I forgot one. Holy cow. I beg your pardon. Now, we're out here at the Thoroughbred Center, and they are going to have a derby party at the Thoroughbred Center. The reason they're doing it, for instance, is they had a huge crowd last year because you can bet Keeneland races here at the Thoroughbred Center. You don't have to go through that drive-through out there, which sometimes backs up clear to Nicholasville.
You also bet derby races. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but this is
Churchill races.
Yeah, that's right. They've been betting Keeneland, but the Derby Day, you can actually bet on the Oaks and the Derby here at the Thoroughbred Center. So what they're going to do is they are going to have a Derby party. So while if you're going to come over, why not? I mean, all you can do in the backyard is draw names. That's a thrill. So you can do actual, like just like you're at the racetrack, and have a nice time. They're going to have stuff, preferred seating, buffet from 12 till 3, souvenir program, and a cash bar. $45 a person. Need to call because you don't know how many, you know, there's a limited space. I mean, they can't take 900 people. So, there you are. Opens up at 9:30 till 7. They're going to have a projection screen and all that good stuff. So the number out here is 293-1853. Ask for Amy. That's 293-1853 at the Thoroughbred Center.
Very good. Well, Warrior's Reward posted a 113 buyer speed rating as a three-year-old, a figure bedded by no other three-year-old in the nation. He's one of eight grade one stakes winners by Benalia Doro. Fee, $100,000. Say that again, fee $100,000. A list which includes Horse of the Year Rachel Alexander and a champion two-year-old in France. Winner of the historic Grade 1 Carter Handicap and of over $565,000. Warrior's Reward won a place in more graded stakes in the USA than any son of Medaglia d'Oro. And he's out of the Grade 1 producer for All You Do by Seeking the Goal. His first foals are yearlings. They sold for up to $95,000 at weanlings last year. And he's been extremely well received by breeders, covering 252 mares in his first two seasons at stud. Grade 1 stakes winner Warrior's Reward is eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. You have everything to lose, win, and nothing to lose. Also eligible for the program are Stallions Dominus, Line of David Notional, Patio Prado, Temple City, and Wilburn. Call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Tuthacker at Spendthrift Farm. Number over there is 859, of course. 294-0030. And that Breed Secure program, it's, yeah, it is. You got everything to win and nothing to lose with that. So call over and ask them about it. For more information, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
I am trying to find out. I'm looking at this article, Oaks Winners Made an Impact in the Commercial Market, by Patrick Reed, which is in the Dealer Racing Form Breeding Edition, trying to see which Oaks winners that he picked. And I'm going to have to sit down and really read the article to do that. I'm looking at this thing. Top yearlings of progeny of Kentucky Oaks winners from 1989 to 2008. Well, let's see. Oh, this is going to take some studying. We'll talk more about this next week.
Yeah.
Okay, since last week's show, we have had 7 winners, one a day, out here from the trained here at the Thoroughbred Center, and they've won 2 at Keeneland and 5 down at the Mountaineer. We've had 19 so far this month. That's one a day, as a matter of fact. So averaging that, and the trainers of these winners, let's see, Karen Vecchio. I've never met Carrie, and she ships in from down in Bourbon County somewhere. She comes in and works them, and I've never really met her. But anyway, she saddled Bullish Babe at one down at Mountaineer. Marco Castaneda, he saddled 2 winners, My Dollar and Wachola. And Marco's a nice guy. He also rides. He gets on horses for Wayne Mackey, and he trains some. And he used to ride races, as a matter of fact. Good rider. Juan Rubalcava saddled a winner. Jimmy Cargan is ripping and roaring again. And the horse that he won with at Mountaineer called Ripping and a Tearing.
How funny.
Yeah. Jimmy's a good horseman. Then we had 2 winners at Keeneland. Wayne Mackey saddled Knight's Notion to win the ninth race on the 18th. And on the 19th, Chuck Peary saddled Bully Girl to win the third race out of Keeneland. Now, Chuck trains. He's out at Chuck right now is out at the at Keeneland, but he trained this particular filly. Trained here all winter long. Chuck stays here all winter long. So anyway, but nice guy. He's got a place down in Versailles. So those are the winners. I want to thank. We got 3 minutes.
One up and around.
Oh my goodness! I could read this article alive by now. We're down to 2 minutes right now.
Story,
Barney, you've gone too far.
Okay.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry.
I got something I'm going to read here real quick. The story seems to prove that racing rather than a losing football team builds character. Tell that to the UK. The wife of an owner from a distant state came to New York to see one of her husband's horses race. The finish was tight, but she thought her horse had won. The camera thought otherwise by about 3 inches. After the races, she began to feel ill and decided to consult a physician. He started the usual routine of an examination and eventually got around to checking blood pressure and was considerably surprised when he got his little inner tube pumped up. Then he started playing 20 questions, a pastime which differs from psychiatry, only in that in the first case you presume the subject is telling the truth, in the second that the patient is lying. "Did you come to New York for anything special?" he asked. "A horse race," said the lady. "One of my husband's horses was in it." "Did he win?" asked the patient. "No," answered the patient. "Lost by about this much." "Did you have a financial interest in this?" asked the doctor. $50,000 and a gold cup. Wow, said the doctor, who hadn't made $50,000 in 6 months. Just then the owner appeared to see what the diagnosis had been. Come here, said the doctor. Take off your coat. I want to take the blood pressure of a man who's missed $50,000 by an inch. He took it. If somebody could have taken the doctor's, medical history might have been made. The owner's was normal. All right, I think it's about time for us to wrap it up there.
All right. See you at Rolex. And
as you can tell, I've been stalling for the last minute or two.
You did a good job of stalling.
Well, I couldn't. I didn't
it's
have time
just to. Like take out the garbage.
Yeah.
And then he stalls. You know, that kind of stalling. You're very good at that.
All right. Well, we'll talk to everybody next week, and thanks for listening.
WLXC Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300.